Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're speaking with Mickey Fulp, also known as the Mercenary Geologist. Mickey has over 30 years' experience as a professional geologist. He's worked all over the globe, North and South America, Europe, and Asia. And Mickey has also been on national media several times, including appearances on Fox Business News and CNBC. Mickey, you know, 2011 was a difficult year for commodities, and I believe we talked early last year, and rightly so, you were cautious coming into the year, and it was a difficult year for many commodities. What are your thoughts on 2012 here in January as, you know, some commodities are starting to perk up? Are you bullish this year on the sector in general?
I would say as a whole, I am bullish on commodities this year. Particularly copper, uranium, oil. We saw quite a downturn in copper over the year, but I think we talked early last year and I predicted a strong copper correction. The price of copper is very reasonable right now. Uranium's on the uptick. I think that with the oil business, you know, there are two competing factors in that. Geopolitical reasons oftentimes move oil up and down quite with some volatility, and in addition to supply-demand fundamentals. So I think we're going to see a strong oil price throughout the year, too.
Yeah, let's talk about oil for a second. How much does that in the conventional energy markets affect uranium? I mean, is that in its entirety, does that move uranium, or sometimes can there be other factors that can help move along the uranium sector?
Well, I would venture to say that oil does not directly move the uranium sector. What oil does is it moves the world economy up or down. Energy is the greatest input to any industrial process that we have. Most of the energy in the world is supplied in one way, shape, or form through hydrocarbons, mainly oil. So when oil prices are high, we end up with things priced more because everything is transported from its place of manufacture to its place of use. So when oil's high, we saw last year rampant food inflation. It is arguably the cause of the quote Arab Spring was food inflation and food riots and shortages. Likewise, when oil is down, we can end up in some sort of deflationary environment. So I would not draw a direct comparison with the price of oil having much to do with the price of uranium any more than it does in any other commodity in the world's economy.
Okay, now let's turn to uranium specifically, because I know there was some, I believe, some important news over the last couple of days, and we see a big jump in a lot of the uranium stocks. Can you talk about that news and maybe what kind of impact it could have for the rest of the year if it's beyond a short-term impact?
Well, we've had a very bullish uranium sector since the first of the year. Now, part of that was because a lot of these stocks got beaten down by tax loss selling at year-end, as did all commodities-based resource stocks, let's say. Yesterday and today, there have been very strong movements in uranium equities, partially attributable, I think, to an announcement yesterday by Energy Resources of Australia, which is essentially a Rio Tinto company, at the Ranger mine. And that mine historically has suffered from flooding. It's in the far northern territory of monsoonal rains in Australia. So they had December flooding. It has once again restricted access to the bottom of pit number 3, where the remaining high grade of the world's second largest mine exists. And so it's apparent they will not reach their production guidance for what, the third straight year. And besides that, the mine is running out of ore and they're having trouble getting permitted for a deeper mine. So I think that had something to do with a price jump yesterday. Also, UX Consulting's weekly uranium price spot price came out. That was up 50 cents to 52.50. Now, that's not unexpected because over the last couple of years, we are now getting daily quotes on uranium prices. But to the general investing public or even the pros who probably don't get the daily uranium prices, it certainly would be a positive influence on the market. What we've seen over the last 2 or 3, 4 months is the uranium spot price building a very strong base at plus $50. We've been at $52 plus or minus here for the last quarter or so. Bottom line with uranium, we have a 22% mine deficit in 2011. The world uses 22% more, 20 to 30% more in any year than it mines. Those shortfalls have historically been made up by utility and government stockpiles. Those are dwindling, and also the Russian conversion of high-enriched uranium into low-enriched, and a deal with the U.S. on that, which supplies nuclear power plants. And that deal ends at the end of 2013, although the Russians and the U.S. have recently reached a new agreement that will not convert bombs, but will use other sources of uranium. So the market's a bit mixed for supply and demand, but I think we can be confident that demand will exceed mine supply here for as far as we care to look into the future.
You know, the last question I have for you on uranium, maybe you could talk about the psychology of the market, because we did have that huge boom kind of in 2006, 2007. Then, of course, uranium came down with everything else in 2007 and then 2008, which was obviously a tough year for everything. Uranium had a great recovery, but in the last year, we did see, you know, huge drops in most of the uranium stocks. They're not, I mean, looking at a long-term chart, many of the stocks they didn't go below their 2010 low. So that's kind of positive to me, you know, if you're looking from way above. But still, I mean, having the big decline they had last year and then the bust previous to that, I mean, don't you think that some investors out there are maybe just scared out of uranium, or are they not? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they probably are. This is a volatile market. The 2006, 2007 boom and bust was driven by production shortfalls. Cigar Lake, the world's richest uranium mine, failed, had massive flooding, still has not come online. Then the aforementioned Ranger mine had flooding in 2006, 2007, which kind of was the market was tottering on the teeter there, if you will, and it put it over on the other side. Then we had the hedge funds and speculators pouring in the market, which drove the price up to $135, and it went parabolic and collapsed. Predictable sort of thing, parabolic rises and falls. The industry mucked around, as you've alluded to, for a couple of years, and then it started getting great traction in mid-2010. Being a contrarian, I was into the market in January of 2009, and if you're contrarian, patience is a virtue. The market was going great guns, and what happened last year on March 11th was a Japanese tsunami and the Fukushima nuclear incident, which took 4 power plants offline and will never produce electricity again in Japan. And we're still dealing with a hangover of that. That incident, although it has not been severe in terms of radioactivity released, and there have been and there will be no deaths attributed to that. People don't really understand radioactivity and things they cannot smell, feel, touch, or see. So there is this inherent fear about radioactivity. Probably has to do with the fact that nuclear energy was first used to kill a lot of people with a couple of nuclear bombs. So we will be forever saddled with that, but the world needs electricity. One out of every five Americans turns on a light switch. It comes from nuclear power. That's not going to change. So, and the stocks are volatile. I would not say that I would play any uranium stocks for a long-term blue-chip investment. These are speculative stocks, and you want to buy them when they're beat up and low, or when they're starting to come out of a period of being down. I think that time is now, so I look at this as a buying opportunity, or particularly or buying opportunities in the fall and winter.
Okay, you also mentioned copper. Why don't you tell us why you're optimistic on copper this year?
Well, I'm working on a piece right now. It'll come out hopefully the end of this week. It's called Copper Continues to Confound the Commodities Crowd. Everyone knows how much I love alliteration. Copper's performance in 2011 was shaky at best. It started the year setting record highs day after day. It reached $4.60 a pound. That was not sustainable. Supply-demand fundamentals were very poor at that time. At the same time, the inventories, worldwide inventories, which is basically surplus copper waiting to find a home, were going up, so was the price. And a lot of that was driven by speculators because of the theorized imminent startups of three physical copper ETFs. Well, those ETFs, with one exception, a small one based in London, did not happen. So I called for a correction in January. We had a little correction in, if memory serves, the mid-spring, and another one in early summer. And then we had the big correction, 30% in the fall. Since that time, copper has been range-bound. It has established a very strong base at $3.05, bounced off there twice, and recently, over the last few days, it's started to go on the uptick again. Today, I think copper's pushing $3.70, which would be something on the order of a three to four month high. The fundamentals look very good to me right now. Although Chinese growth is slowing, China used 5% less copper last year. The GDP, Q4 GDP out of China yesterday was very, very strong, almost 9%. So China's slowing down, but still a robust growing economy. The difference was made up in copper demand last year by increased demand from Russia and the United States. So as these Western economies, especially the United States, looks a little stronger, I look for copper to be in demand this year. Right now, inventories are going down. The percent of capital, or pardon me, let me say that again. The percent of canceled warrants is going up now. Canceled warrants would be warehouse stocks with a warrant canceled, which means that copper is moving out of the warehouse to an end user. So both of those things are bullish for copper right now. And I look for, I would be very happy this year if copper was range bound between $3.50 and $4. That's good margins for producers, and I think the world can handle those prices for the medium term.
Well, great stuff, Mickey. As we close, can you tell our listeners how they can sign up for your free newsletter?
Sure. It's mercenarygeologist.com. You go to the homepage. On the left side, right below my mug, is a banner that says free subscription. Sign up here. You click on that. Give us an email address and a name. You can even falsify your name, but you got to give us a legitimate email address. And you get all my reports and interviews and TV appearances for free. Also, a bit of a promotion here. We've recently launched a 24/7 audio streaming of my interviews, including this one, which will go into the rotation today. And we recently have also launched for to reach a perceived market in Eastern China and Western North America. We've launched mercenarygeologists.asia, which is translated into simplified Chinese, a scaled-down version of my website to attract a growing cadre of interested Chinese resource investors. So we think we're going to do very well with that initiative. And for our bilingual Chinese English speakers, we found that a lot of those people would rather read and simplified Chinese versus English. So that was the motivation for that startup.
All right, Mickey. Well, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, Jordan. Good to talk to you, and I hope to see you in Vancouver this weekend.